Hello, and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service. Today, Alex Capstick looks back on the career of Africa's greatest Olympic sprinter, a man who won four silver medals, but never the gold. Namibia's Frankie Fredericks.
In 1990, after a long struggle, Namibia gained independence from South Africa. 2 years later, the country made its Olympic debut, with Frankie Fredericks leading the way in Barcelona.
It was a great honour for me, walking into the stadium, obviously, with my country's flag. I was the flag bearer in 92. To walk into the stadium and to hear everybody scream for Namibia and everybody clapping, and to meet these other great athletes in the middle of the field was a great honour for me. I realised then that I was in a very special atmosphere, special place.
It had been a difficult journey. Frankie Fredericks was raised in a poor township on the edge of the Namibian capital, Windhoek. Growing up a black man in a country governed by white minority apartheid rule, the Olympics meant very little to him.
As a youngster, I didn't dream about becoming Olympic champion. I didn't dream about going to the Olympic Games. Because, as you know, we were under sports boycott. So I think as a child, we didn't dream about the Olympic Games. I didn't even know that the Olympic Games existed.
Because when you were growing up, you wanted to be a footballer, didn't you? You were pretty handy on the football pitch.
Yeah, I think that's all we had in our community. I think we were segregated and, we can make our balls with plastic and all these things and get a makeshift ball and play in the community. I mean, you could run. I mean, I knew I was always fast, but after a while it wears off. I mean, nobody wants to race against you because they know you're going to beat them. So I think I knew I was always fast, but to be part of the community, I had to play football.
Life was tough, although Africa's future Olympic icon didn't complain.
Growing up, I did not know that it was not a nice place. It was the only place I knew. For me, it was the best place in the world. It was only after I realized that I had the opportunity to go outside that you realize how bad your life was and how hard your parents really worked to make sure that you have something to eat and that you have shoes to wear and all these things. But, I mean, everybody in the community was the same off. We were all about the same class, poor, so nobody really thought that anybody else was wealthy. We knew that the white people were healthy and more wealthy than us, but that was the system. We did not know that there were other black people in the rest of the world that were also wealthy, and only when you had the opportunity to travel and to see the things, you realized that we were disadvantaged.
His natural talent was spotted by the Namibian athletics official Hannes von Holtz. But he was worried about the harsh conditions in which Frankie Fredericks lived.
Even with meals, it was a difficulty. The earning power they had was, in the most instances, wasn't sufficient to feed them correctly, for high-level sporting activities. Now, that was a real problem. His main help was his mother, which he always emphasizes still today.
She's a very strong person. That's where I get my hard work from. I think she dedicated all her life just to me, to make sure that I have everything. I think she, she came home, make sure I have something to eat, and then she will go back to a second job, making sure that I have everything that I needed. I mean, it was not so nice when you come and compete against the rest of the kids, and then your kid is the only one that have no shoes or whatever. So she really worked hard to make sure that I have the things that I needed.
As a teenager, Frankie Fredericks gained a reputation for being a fast runner. He became the South African school's champion at both 100 and 200 metres. His speed caught the attention of coaches at Brigham Young University in the United States, where he was offered a sports scholarship.
It was just perfect for me because, I got there in 87, 86, I think 86, 87. So, we were still under sports boycott, so I had three years to grow into, to mature into a real sprinter. In 1990, when Namibia got independent, I was ready to compete because I've been competing at the college level with top guys like Michael Johnson, Leroy Burrell, Dennis Mitchell. So I was ready to compete then on the international level.
From March the 21st, 1990, Frankie Fredericks was allowed to represent his beloved Namibia. He didn't fit the usual sprinter's mould. He was a serious, private and humble man. His performances on the track took people by surprise, including one of his major rivals and friend, Britain's Linford Christie.
He was really, really quiet and shy. And we are this guy, Frankie Fredrick, running these amazing times. You know, really, nobody saw that, believed, but, you know, when he swam on the track, we thought, ooh.
Frankie Fredrick's potential was realised at the 1991 World Championships in Tokyo when he won a silver medal in the 200 metres. At the Barcelona Olympics a year later, he was second best again, but added another silver in the 100 metres, a race won by Linford Christie. It was at the 1993 World Championships in Stuttgart that he claimed his one and only major global title.
Fredericks hits the front! It's going to be gold for Frankie Fredericks! Silver for John Regis! And the time, 19.85, is phenomenal. Frankie Fredericks, so often the bridesmaid at these major events, has taken gold. That is a new African record for Frankie Fredericks.
A consistent performer on the international circuit, Frankie Fredericks arrived in Atlanta for the 1996 Olympics as one of the favourites in both sprints. The 100 metres came first. But a succession of false starts and the disqualification of Linford Christie affected him.
Four false starts took quite a lot out of my body. And then, of course, my friend got disqualified. And I know how hard he trained for 2 years to defend his title. So I think at that moment, you know, there was many emotions and thoughts going through my head. And I just told myself, hey, this is your time. You know, it's unfortunate that he's out, but, you know, concentrate on what you have to do. And I think under the circumstances to come out there and to win a silver medal, for me, was a good feat because, I mean, I really thought that I will crack and maybe get no medal. So I knew that I would not have my normal race. And when I got to 60 metres and I saw Donovan pass me, I mean, I realised that this was over. So I just had to hold on to the silver medal.
Because beforehand, a lot of people felt that you were the man that was in the condition, the form, to set a new world record.
Yes, I definitely knew that I was in very good shape. I think if we had one false start, second race, if we could have gone off on the second time, I think I would have run something special.
You picked yourself up. It was okay to pick yourself up for the 200. You felt mentally okay?
Yeah, mentally I was ready. I mean, I knew the 100 metres was probably the easier of the two to win, and I didn't get it. So I beat Michael once before, so I knew that I could do it again. So deep down I knew that I could do it, but I didn't expect him to come and run 19:32. So, I mean, against that I cannot do anything. I knew the key was to come off the bend in front of him or next to him, and then I will run him down at the straight. I mean, nobody have ever run away from me or passed me on the straight of 200 metres, but coming off the bend and realising that Michael had other gears and he was just shifting away from me, I realised that, okay, this is a very special race because I knew I was running fast. And when I looked over at the clock and I saw 19:32, I knew that I was running something special because I didn't think I was that far behind.
Michael Johnson's world record would stand for 12 years and Frankie Fredericks would never again come so close to achieving Olympic glory. But his reputation has not suffered. According to the 100 metres champion in Atlanta, Donovan Bailey, his place as one of the sport's great sprinters is secure.
It didn't define him. He's such an awesome human being. I mean, and he's such a good sprinter, and he's up there with the very best. When track and field news comes out, you know, 100 years from now, Frankie's face or name or race is going to be there because he's been part of the biggest and most memorable competitions that ever exist in our sport.
I know that, okay, Frankie Fredericks will never have a gold medal. I know that I tried everything. You know, I think somebody else have to win a gold medal for Namibia.
And he's tried to make that happen. Back at home, the Frank Fredericks Foundation continues to invest in the sporting potential of young Namibians. He's also become a high flyer in sports administration, with important roles in World Athletics and the International Olympic Committee.
Alex Capstick. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.